Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 201, part 1, Doors. Today is Friday, July 1st, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's club is also located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, you're a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, you can come in to Pastor Paul's, register your household for monthly groceries. If you need more information, please call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. Thank you for joining the podcast. The month of July, these are the messages. Doors, I am, says I will. Wake up, melt me, fight on. There you have it, the podcast for the month of July. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and have a great month of July.
Tonight's message is entitled Doors. So let's look and take a look at Matthew 25, 1 through 12. And it speaks of being prepared. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. The end. And the door was shut. But before we start, let's get a better picture of what Jesus is saying here about the bride and about the church. Let's get into Psalm 45 and 10, and it says like this, "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people." Now this is a heavy word. This is a heavy, heavy word. I want you to listen to it. "And thy father's house." Now this isn't preached a whole lot. Psalm 45 and 10, "Hearken, O daughter." He's talking to the church. "And consider and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Hearken, O daughters, and consider." Well, let's don't wrestle with scriptures here to our own destruction. Let's just take them the way they come. I think this then is a forever the great duty of the church. Faith cometh by hearing, and confirmation by consideration. Hearken, O daughters, and consider. Next it says, "Incline thine ear." Now this is a heavy word for a heavy, heavy time. Lean forward and don't miss one word. what he's saying. Incline thine ear. How do you incline thine ear? You bring it up. You open it up. Next, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Now, to renounce the world isn't easy. No, doesn't happen overnight. But it must be done. Usually, it's done in stages. You go 14 steps ahead, 28 steps back. Huh? 10 steps ahead, 20 back. But see, Jesus is keeping track of every one of those good steps. Now listen. Next, forget also thine own people, thy father's house. Woo! See, it has to be done, and sometimes you're going to have reruns. Well, it's covered, because how many times must I forgive this man? Peter says to Jesus. Jesus says, well, 70 times 7. That was just a quick answer. 70 times 7. Well, now he'll think on that one. Well, let's see. That's 490 times. And before he could even get it out. A day. See, because a divided heart cannot endure. If our hearts are divided in this end time, we will not endure. Preachers, you four that are writing, calling. If there be any division in your heart, and I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about your heart. If there be any division in your heart, you'll never be able to endure what's going to come on. Say amen. Now the Bible says, in the end, mother against daughter and so on, you know the scripture. Father against son, so on, so on, so on. And a lot of times you'll find this in your very own families. Hear it, hear it, hear it. There's a division. Hearken, O daughters, and that means the church. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the Christian now. And consider. And I said, faith cometh by hearing and confirmation by consideration. So consider what Jesus is saying here. Well, maybe you're with someone with a divided heart. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Pretty heavy word. I think there's a whole lot of people out there stuck in a trap. Evil acquaintances and even those who are, let's say, even those that are but neutral must be forsaken. You know, a neutral person is dangerous too. I didn't do nothing. Well, hey, that's your problem. That's like one time I was with some people and they started to tear down somebody, you see. And so we got away from this thing, and this guy says, and I knew we were going to get together again, and I was planning my line of attack, and this guy says, you know what, I don't want to get involved. You notice I didn't say anything. And I says, I notice that you're very guilty, or you wouldn't be bringing it up. Because your silence and your being in neutral ground is just as bad as someone in an open attack. And so I made my move when we got back together again after the little break. See, non-movers are dividers. You ever seen somebody sit on the seat of their pants? They always want to gather a group. Why? Guilt. How many hearing this? If they're not moving, they are dividers. Man, I'm not going to do that. That's too hard. I mean, that's a lot of work. Don't you think that's a lot of work? No, you can get anybody to agree with you that work is a lot of work. I mean, it's so easy to gather a group, huh? Come on now. Right? Now, can you gather a group when you say, more work? No, in the world they call them brownies. Huh? Try to gather a group by saying, let's all go to work and let's do double our work. Let's really push and shove. You got to be out of your mind. They're going to find some excuse to escape. To escape this ungodlike speech. Let's all get in there and do our very best. Oh, man, shut up. Later for you. Come on, get off it. Don't be so gung-ho. Take a break. Give me another mint julep. That's where people are at, fun steps and mint juleps. How many are in this? See, so those non-movers are very dangerous because really they are moving in the wrong direction. They are of no benefit, and they must inflict injury. Now, you find a person doesn't do nothing physically. There's one thing that will always work on them, and it is their mouth. Man, if we could put fingers on some of them people's lips, half of the world could just quit working. See, the body I'm talking about, our house, is a house of sin. The Bible says we are shapen in iniquity. It also says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means hates God totally. The natural mind hates God totally. Now, you can find yourself hating God by getting into hating folks. See, we must come forth of the house of a fallen nature. And that's what we come out of. See, it is, the Bible says, built in the city of destruction. Doomed for failure. Sealed. Well, do we break all natural ties by grace? No. But sinful ties must go. See, we have much to forget as well as to learn. No. A lot of learning is unlearning. See, that's the problem when you take kids to school and they've learned a whole lot of bad things. And then the teacher is told no discipline, and she's brought up under that kind of thing anyway. It's total nonsense. And so she can't tell them, don't do this or don't do that, or one little splat, or get in your seat, or whatever. See, and them kids need a whole lot of unlearning before they can learn. And it's the same way when we come to Christ. There's a whole lot of things to be unlearned. And I tell you what, the natural world says, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. No, that old dog, the Bible says, has to die. Has to give his life to gain a life. But anyway, unlearning is so difficult that only diligent hearing and, like we just said, considering. Now, if you can get a child to consider. I used to work with little kids. You remember it out in the suburbs? I had all these kids and they'd sit in the front row. You remember that? They'd only be about like 3 or 4 years old. And so, forsake not the little children to come unto me, such belongs the kingdom of heaven. We would start to minister to these little ones But the whole thing of it, the meat of it was, the crux of it was, is that you had to get him to consider. And so you had to show him, well, hey, now, is this right? And you had to make an example, and you had to act it out, and you had to do whatever you had to do to make it get across. And say, now I want you to consider that. My mother used to tell me that. She said, now go in your room and just consider what you did. I want you to think about what you did. Dwell on it. Think about it. And I'd go in there and I'd think about it for a while and I'd crawl out the window. Then sometime about 10 o'clock at night when I was sleeping, all the air would leave my body. My mother was sitting on me. Now I was pinned down and I really had to consider. Now I want you to think about this while I'm sitting on you. Do you ever have 180 pounds sitting on you when you only weighed 68? Didn't take me long to consider it, I'll tell you that. See, only diligent hearing and considering and a bending of the whole soul to it, to the message, can accomplish the work. Well, of course, even all of this being done is so feeble if grace doesn't assist. You can do nothing, Jesus says, without me. Now that's the truth. And you'll never be able to follow this message without the Lord Jesus Christ, because the natural man hates God and hates God what God says, and the flesh enters in, and we don't want to forget our whole house. No! Now listen. First, God must make us willing. I'm willing. Are you willing to walk the life and be in the same situations Jesus was in when they came? Hey, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside. Well, who are they? Who's my brother and who's my sister and who's my mother? Who are they? I'm in the middle of a divine cause. Who are they? And so God has to make us willing. And Jesus said, oh, if you can, any way you can take this cup, but if it can't be done, then your will be done, Father. You saying that out there, preachers? You four preachers out there, and that we're conversing all the time, back and forth. What you have to do is to allow God to make you willing. And when God makes you willing, you will do what He tells you to do against all the obstacles and all the conversation and all the people and all the brothers and all the sisters. And the whole house, and the Father's house, and on, okay? Yet why should we, I thought, remember Egypt? I'm talking about, spiritually speaking, the world. Is it so hard to leave the Pharaoh's hell? The leeks and the garlic? The bars that smell like toilet bowls? Or the tearing up of the social ladder and climbing as high as you can only to have a foot stuck in your mouth? Is it so hard to leave the last rip-off scene? Is it so hard to leave the claiming scene and the hyper-faith scene and the gaining of self-knowledge? Is it so hard to leave the mental wards of this world or the jails of this world? But I think we should forget about hell as we remember heaven. I mean to say, only a fallen nature would fall for such a toilet bowl experience. And so we part with folly for wisdom. See, you can have a whole lot of knowledge, but if you don't have no wisdom to go with it, you're about the dumbest thing walking. This goes to prove to you that it says in the latter day, knowledge will increase. And from 40 to 50, it doubled itself. 50 to 60, doubled itself. Now think about that. 60 to 70, doubled itself. Think about that. I mean, of all the times, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, we are close. We part with the bubbles for eternal joys. Sometimes we like the bubble of fellowship and everybody liking us. Oh, we float and bump each other. Boom, boom, hi. Boing, boing. Little spiritual bubbles bumping each other. Yes. Why not leave that for eternal joys? And the only way you're going to have eternal joy is suffer a little bit and die daily. Get your bubble bursted. Now, I know there isn't such a word, but I like to use that kind of stuff. Okay? For all you English teachers that will be, oh, his speech was deplorable. Who cares? You knew what I was talking about. You wouldn't know how to correct me. Woo! I hope I meet that English teacher up in heaven. Then we'll both have the mind of Christ and we won't be able to correct each other. We part with lies for the truth. And the guy says, what does this mean? Let all men be liars, and let God be true, let all men be liars. All it says next to the truth, whatever you say is a lie. I'm talking about pure truth now. You cannot tell total truth. Not till you become truth. We part with misery for bliss. We part with idols for a living God. And we have idols. Isn't it terrible when our idols die? Huh? Isn't it? Well, people mourned, you know. John Wayne died. Cagney. Huh? Bogey? Bogey died. What? No, gonna go. You're gonna leave misery for bliss. See, the scene right now is set for the Antichrist, and so you gotta have a message just exactly like this. I think it's sad, but I think it's also true. We need to become more mindful of these things of God. But anyway, worldliness abounds. And I think even the church is defiled by it. The glory of the great King is veiled with a whole lot of nonsense. And only when the whole church leads a separated life will the full splendor and the power of Christianity shine forth upon the world. And it's definitely got to be a move of the Holy Ghost. You may have to say, forget you, to a lot of people, and a lot of things. Well, the world says, later for you. Forget you. Maybe you'll have to forget about people. Well, don't feel too bad about it. A lot of them forgot you anyway. Say amen, somebody. And so let us forget. While we're on the mountains, have no love to look back onto Sodom. A lot of times, people, when they connect Sodom, of course, they connect it with the homosexual, and that's partially true. But you know what the great sin was? One of the great sins? Not respecting God. Not considering God. I mean, if you're in the ark, don't fly back to the world like the raven did. If we're set on Canaan, forget the flesh pots of Egypt. About 10 people have asked me of late, why don't you take a vacation? Well, I says, I'm on leave right now. What do you mean, I'm on leave? From where? I said, from heaven. Did you know that? That you're on leave? Are you hearing this message tonight? Are you listening on the radio? Are you hearing it? It's about 1:45 right now. You sluggards are laying there, rolling your eyes, wondering if it's God's will for you to get out of bed. See, philosophy is the art of remembering, but divinity, I know, it includes in it the art of forgetting. Why? Jesus says, I will forget. God says, I will forget all your sins. So there's a learning here. I was reading about Socrates, and he taught students to remember. He thought knowledge was nothing but remembering. But the very first lesson Jesus Christ taught is forget. See, in the original Greek, forgive is really forget. There's a lot of things you have to forget. You have to forget being misused, slandered, kicked in the seat of the pants, whatever, it doesn't matter. Bible says forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark to calling in Christ. Not in people, not in families. Especially in this Antichrist age. And so I think there's three alls that you really have to look at. Number one, he expects us to part with sinful lust, all the ways of the old Adam, our father's house. And I think secondly would be all our worldly advantages. If any man, now this is the original, listen very closely to this. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he can't be my disciple. In other words, he that has all these must be willing to part with them all. Willing to, I said. In relation to the love of God, you got to hate those things. Because if you love them a little bit, you're divided above God. So, love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and seek ye first then the kingdom of God first. And so then with all that said, number three, I think we better get into all self. What do you mean self? Self-will. Self-sufficiency. Self-confidences and self-seekings. And so forget about the time. Forget about the problems and the hurts, and let's cross over Sensitivity Mountain. When people get caught in the middle of Sensitivity Mountain. Oh man, I'm just going to sit down, and they're crawling up this mountain, see? And they get up the mountain about right here, and then somebody says something, so they just sit right here on Oversensitivity Mountain. They need to go over. And they get stuck right there. Do not become oversensitive. That is self. Are you hearing this? Better not be sensitive in the end time. Be sensitive to the move of the Holy Ghost. Forget things past. Forget it. What's that song? Come on, forget all your problems. Get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. There is such a song. How many heard that one? Batting better than I usually do. So let's go on with this message. Let's look in on those 10 bridesmaids. The prepared and the unprepared. Matthew 25 and 10. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was what? Shut. So hour by hour and day by day, we're being tested. How many went through some tests this week? No, it's not all bad. You must have passed. You're still here. How many hearing it? Now, somebody was getting ready to go to sleep somewhere. I don't know where. No, no life is so completely free from emergencies. Did you give a testimony about what happened to you, Debbie? You did? But you had an emergency, didn't you? You're not free completely from emergencies. I don't care where you live or what geographic setting you're in, are you listening out there, or wherever. You're not free from emergencies. I mean, the very least adventurous of us meet a fork in the road daily. When I hear someone saying, well, I just mind my own business. Not too much happens to me. Never mind saying that, because you're going to have some kind of an adventure coming your way. Oh, I don't claim it. Don't have to. I didn't say you claimed anything. It's coming your way. I'm not laying a word on you. It's just the way life is. There's emergencies in it. And you're driving down the freeway. Bam! Oh, no. Not now. I remember going through the tunnel down here. And the tires weren't filled up just right, and I had that big black van, and I was going about 35. Going down, it was raining out. And it started to do a walk on me. And it walked in towards that curb, and it walked out, and I thought, if I hit that curb and that wall, this thing is going to flip. And so it started doing one of these hops down the side of this thing, going sideways. You know why? There wasn't enough air in the tires. So the tire, when it started going sideways, left the rim. I definitely had an emergency. I was just driving along, singing a song, mind my own business. I'll just sing it in the rain. Bam! Oh, I'm going all over the place. It was an emergency. Did you have an emergency today? Sometimes it's an emergency for some folks just to get out of bed. Alarm rings, that's an emergency. Bring on the life preserver. His alarm went off. Don't worry, he's not too alarmed. He'll just roll over and turn it off. Put the snooze alarm on. I know people that put the snooze alarm on so many times that their radio blows up. See, where we're at today is what I'm saying. Depends upon the turn we took yesterday. So you can never delay doing something today and expect tomorrow to turn out just your way. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Today. Because when you seek ye first the kingdom of God today, it's going to negotiate tomorrow for you. Well, you might lose a few friends along the way. Well, what do you mean you can't go? Well, I got to seek ye first the kingdom of God first, and I'll let you know. No, I got to do this and I got to do that for the kingdom of God. Well, what comes first? Me or the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God. Huh? Do you dare say that? Do you? Out there on the radio? Right down there in the shop? I venture to say, if somebody wants you to go out and have something to drink, and you say, well, I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God, God is going to tell you not to go out there and drink. Oh, no, there he goes again. He's going to seek ye first the kingdom. We know you're going to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's exactly right. But everybody is going to come to a fork in the road every day. Don't say amen, say ouch. Did you run into some forks in the road today? I'm sure everybody did. Right? Decisions is what I'm talking. Did you have to make a decision today? I bet you had to make a decision today whether to paddle or not, didn't you? Did you make the right decision? No. No. In other words, Luke didn't say amen. He said, ouch. He didn't say ouch. He said amen. He should have, oh, I see. Okay, whatever. See, life is full of decisions, and oh my God, it's so hard to make them when to seek ye first the kingdom of God. For some. For all. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Because these day-by-day decisions that we are compelled to make bring us tragedy. Sometimes it does. Oh, what a tragic ending. Who says it's an ending? It's tragedy to the flesh. Look at Paul's flesh. Man, he was so gnarled up. He had been beaten so many times. His eyebrows were folded up with scars over his eyes, and his ears looked like he'd been wrestling for it, you know. Beaten, bent. His decisions brought tragedies into his life. They may rob us of our dearest treasures. Maybe our reputation. You treasure your reputation? Well, you're the only one that does. Everybody else is trying to knock it down. That's what, you know, boxing is that way, isn't it? Ali. You know, all these different characters that get on the boxing scene. You know what I mean? All these golden boys and these beautiful people, boxers and professional track people and so on like that, and they have a reputation. Somebody's always trying to beat them out, and somebody always does. But they may rob us of our dearest treasures and close the door, let's say, of the feast of life in our faces. Now listen, people. The people that end up in the depths didn't arrive there in one single bound. They took the ladder down one step at a time. You ever tried to make a step up in God? With everybody pulling on your ankles? Have you? And there's a lot of people that are in families and they aren't all born again in that family, and they're trying to get up. And then there's people trying to get down. They took the same way. They take it one step at a time. They get there one step at a time. They allow life's daily test to work their very undoing. But now, whether our tests bring us sorrow or joy, want or wealth, depends upon our readiness to meet them. Are you ready? Are you content whatsoever state you're in, rich or poor? Hello, sorrow. Hello, pain. Hello, summer. Hello, rain. Makes no difference, personal gain. My dear Lord Jesus is always the same. Are you hearing it? See, you can't let this life get to us or it will undo us. If you allow this old life, this old house, to get to you, it will undo you. Don't let it get to you. So, hello, Minigasco and NSP. Go ahead and lay that big bill on me. Whatever. Hello, beans or caviar. I'm going to be happy wherever I are. No, I'm headed upwards. I can't get down. My blessed Lord is all around. See, I serve a Lord of allowing. He allows things to happen. Well, amen at preachers, you listening now. They meant it for evil for you, but God meant it for good. All things are working together for good. Now, there's only one good, and that's God. So all things are working together for God. Yeah, I hear you say, but I don't know who you are, but I meet you someday. Yeah, you said, didn't you? But you don't know what they did to me, and I don't want to hear it. I've heard all them stories. Lived a few myself. But listen to this, preachers. It is they that are ready that go into the feast. In the face of it all, and they face all the others, and they go on, and the door is shut. And neither man can open it, nor God. Once it's shut. See, it is to enforce, I believe, here, this truth that Jesus brings us the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. And I thought, oh, what a gripping heart grabber. And only Jesus could tell it in such a way. So full of lights and so full of shadows and triumphs and tragedies and pain and laughter and tears. It has sort of a unmixed beauty about it. It's poetry and it's music and romance. And Jesus says, in essence, here are 10 lovely girls who are expecting to take part in a marriage ceremony. And then the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like unto the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Think about that. What a great picture that is. 10 equally beautiful girls. 10 equally beautiful churches. The 10 churches. Their hair done up in sort of a Grecian curl. Beautiful long white gowns with a sort of a gold, let's say, braided ropes hanging around. And they all had golden lamps. And they all seemed so confident and so tall and stately and prepared and alike. You ever watch this? Here she comes, Miss America. Oh man, I'd hate to be a judge. They all look the same. Huh? They all look so confident and so prepared and so alike. But Jesus says, no. This is not so. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were unwise. Foolish, it says. And here again, he only names 2 groups, the ready and the unready. And so it's not like the Miss America pageant. There are no runner-ups. There's only 2 types, the ready and the unready. The accepted and the beloved and the unaccepted by their own doing. See, but we can't see the difference. It's not evident to us. It's not evident when you look at all these girls. You don't know what's inside. When we look at these 10 bridesmaids, these stately women with the golden curls hanging down and goblets of black hair or whatever and just Grecian curls hanging all over and these gowns with golden lamps, they all seem so much alike. Outwardly they are. Their clothes are identical. The gown competition. And their hair is the same and their lamps are the same. Well, the wise have lamps. Well, so did the foolish have lamps. They all got lamps, the wise and the foolish. Do they all have the same knowledge? Are they the same in ignorance? Yes. The foolish know just as much as the wise. The Bible says don't be wise in your own understanding. If you think you know something, know nothing at all. Saving Christ, crucified, buried, rose again. Don't get into that. Well, now I hear you asking this. Do they both know that they have been asked to the wedding as torchbearers? Yes, they all have lamps. Who are you carrying a torch for? You know who you're carrying a torch for when it's a person, don't you? Well, then they all know that a lamp with no oil is useless. Right? And so they must have oil. They all also know how much oil they have. And then they are alike in their ignorance of the exact hour of the bridegroom's coming. Does anyone know the time that Jesus is going to come? Oh, there's been several predicted.
That was part 1 of episode 201, Doors, Be sure to listen to the conclusion, part two, on Sunday. God bless you and have a great weekend.
Oh, when the Lord